Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, rolling into hour number two. Good to have you with us. 869-1240. Talk a little NFL. That's your hotline. If you want to join the conversation, feel free to do so. We start the second hour and leads us to what's on tap, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets, with a little NFL. But that's not all we'll talk about for the rest of the hour, courtesy of Side Pockets at Kellogg and Tyler. And we appreciate their fine sponsorship of the show.
Yeah, Kareem and Kyler, the two big names in NFL circles over the last couple of days. We'll talk about that here in a second. What to make of the AAF, and how can the NFL learn from some different rules of the AAF as it compares to the NFL? And then on this day in sports history is coming up a little bit later on. That's what's on tap, brought to you by Side Pockets out the corner of Kellogg and Tyler. Tuesday, later on tonight, let's see here, Hawk Talk with head coach Bill Self. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock right here on KFH, followed immediately by the Celtics and 76ers. So that's what's on tap tonight on KFH. So yesterday, Kyler Murray announced that he is, quote, fully committing to becoming an NFL quarterback, unquote. So he's going to have to pay back most of his signing bonus and forfeit about, I think, $3 million, which he was due in the next month if he would have stayed as an Oakland A, which he technically still is, but they still own his rights, but they won't get compensated for him chasing a football dream. So now, according to several reports, including Todd McShay and Mel Kiper from ESPN, they project Murray to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL. He would be the first ever, according to Elias, if he is. Three players came close. John Elway, Bo Jackson, and Ken Stabler were all, well, Elway and Jackson were taken in the first round of the NFL and the second round in the Major League Baseball draft. Ken Stabler was a second rounder in the NFL draft and a second rounder in the MLB draft back in the days. The Snake. Like great Ken Stabler. No player has ever been drafted in the first round in both. Kyler Murray will attempt to be. And we can't really fault the A's for, if you'll pardon the pun, swinging and missing on this one, because I don't know that even they could project the success that Kyler Murray would have at Oklahoma. He won the Heisman, made it look easy a lot of the time. So you can understand why they would draft him, and you could also understand, I think, why Kyler Murray is chasing the football dream. Now, he's got a few things working against him, but this is a perfect time, I believe, Bruce, to be a little undersized or be a little bit out of the norm and not a typical pocket passer, because the NFL is coming off of that stereotype a little bit.
Well, there's an appetite for smaller, more nimble, mobile quarterbacks. If you want to call it flavor of the minute, flavor of the moment, flavor of the month, flavor of the year, you've got that going on right now. So there is, whereas a player like Kyler Murray, what, 10, 15 years ago, would never have been considered to be a first-round draft pick, maybe even more recently than that. Now there is a taste for that kind of player as we continue to play with the more of the college game, the run-pass option, RPOs, as they're referred to around the NFL, and college football as well. But you're seeing more of that now in the NFL. So there's more of an appetite for a player like Kyler Murray. He's got to be the right fit for someone. I think it's going to be very interesting. The amount of contact that he will be in the midst of at, and I know they list him at what, 5'10", 190, 185, whatever it is, 5'10", 185. I think the combine is going to be extremely interesting, as if it isn't every year, but for that alone, the measurables on Kyler Murray.
He's 5'9 and 7/8 in socks, according to OU's assistant athletic director.
Okay. Well, so, we'll find out.
Okay. So, yeah.
He now, may be.
The other numbers that are not in question, 4,361 and 1,001. That's passing and rushing yards, 2018.
Right.
And Kiper and McShay both have him going number 13 overall to the Miami Dolphins. Now, we don't have any idea what's going to happen on draft day or leading up to it when it comes to trading up. But either way, no matter how tall or short you view Kyler Murray, he would be the shortest quarterback in the first round since the common draft began in 1967.
Right.
And there have only been two listed shorter than 6'1". That was Michael Vick and Johnny Manziel, who both were listed at 6 feet.
Well, Doug Flutie wasn't 6'1". He was. He may have been listed.
Well, he wasn't
that,
in the first
Doug
round,
was
though.
Smaller. Yeah, that's right. He wasn't. And I don't think he started. He was in his 30s when he actually became a starting quarterback, and wasn't it in Buffalo? I mean, you know, he had his run with the Bears. I don't know. I don't remember that exactly, but it's going to be interesting. He'll go in the first round, and that's why he should be playing football, because his path to the top of his respective sport is much more assured in football than it is in baseball. The more that I read on Kyler Murray, the more, I mean, the A's were the ones that took him, and they took him ninth in the first round, when other teams, he may not have even been a first-round pick. And the A's think outside the box. I get it. But you're talking about a guy, Shane, I was surprised to find out that he never hit, I don't think he's hit over 290 in college.
No, and
he's never hit over 290.
He had a little problem staying healthy at the end of last year, too. He had a hamstring issue, I think. But
so
he would have had $4.66 million guaranteed from the A's after he got drafted by them. He'll have to return $1.29 million of the $1.5 installment of his signing bonus that he already got, and he will forfeit the remaining $3.16 million that would have been due March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The A's do not get any compensation, but they do retain his rights if he ever returns to baseball. The first part sucks for the A's.
It does.
They kind of wasted a pick, assuming that he's not going to decide to ever return to baseball. But if he does, he can't just do it with anybody else. They still have his rights. So now he's got 2 weeks to get ready for the scouting combine that begins February 26. We'll find out if he is going to throw at the combine or save that for a pro day. He'll have some decisions to make as far as that goes. And then the draft itself will take place on April 25th in Nashville, Tennessee. So there's the latest on Kyler Murray. Not quite as savory and kind of a little more uncomfortable news. The Browns signed Kareem Hunt, who was infamously caught on camera beating a woman in a Cleveland hotel. A lot of different ways to go on this one. My initial thought was when I heard that Kareem Hunt signed with the Browns, just when the Browns looked like they were starting to get out of their own way, they, as Jim Rome would say, they started browning again.
They had many
things going for them. They almost made the playoffs. You had Baker Mayfield. You had they really took off once they fired Hugh Jackson. And a team. I know you can never have too many running backs, but with the emergence of Nick Chubb and veteran presence in Duke Johnson, I couldn't help but wonder why. This is a one-year
deal.
Is a one-year deal that he'll play half of if he's lucky. And so, in essence, he just becomes a really risky PR nightmare insurance policy. And John Dorsey pulled the trigger, who obviously drafted Kareem Hunt when they both were with the Chiefs.
And we're thankful that the Browns don't condone, his words, don't condone this kind of behavior. And according to him, that he's taken responsibility for, quote, his egregious actions, that he's undergoing treatment, acknowledging that he's still subject to NFL suspension. And that seems at least, what, Shane, a half a year?
If not more.
I mean, you know, he's going to pay a price and should pay a price. This is all about one thing and one thing only, about greasing the wheels of winning in the NFL. And you can posture, you can have your mock indignation and we did our due diligence and we've kicked the tires and talked to all the people. Although it doesn't sound like to me that anyone talked to the victim, but you know, who the hell cares, right? I mean, do we really need to talk to the victim?
Well, we saw what happened. I mean, we didn't hear
right
specifically what happened. I know we heard Kareem Hunt's side when he talked to Lisa Salters a couple days after it came out, mm-hmm. or something like that on one Sunday morning, but. I don't know. The player, the talent is unquestioned. And there are teams that unquestionably need a talent like Kareem Hunt. To me, the Browns don't. Like if the Buccaneers signed Kareem Hunt, or if give me another team that could really use a running back. If you know, somebody in dire straits, when the Raiders, uh-huh. for example. They could use his talent is unquestioned. And so you could understand if that's what it comes down to, and that is what it comes down to. He's a really good mm-hmm. football player. He was going to sign somewhere. But the Browns were one of the teams that, to me, could definitely get along without him. And John Dorsey's sticking his neck out here. And just when you thought that the Browns had kind of turned a corner in many ways, not just wins and losses, but in many ways, of becoming can't-miss TV and a real popular team and a real likable team. They take a hit, PR-wise, signing Kareem Hunt, who the analysts are guessing will miss 6 to 10 games. He's still on the commissioner's exempt list, I think is what it's mm-hmm. called. So they'll have to continue to look into what he did, how he'll get punished. I mean, you're not going to get away with getting caught on video and just get a slap on the wrist anymore. That horse is out of the barn. He's gonna get pummeled when it comes to being suspended. So why the Browns? Why would you do this? I don't know. And here's the other thing too. And this is a slippery slope. Does he deserve a second chance? Does he deserve an opportunity to play in the NFL again? I've heard that almost nonstop over the last 12 hours or so. It's nobody's God-given right to play in the NFL after you commit such an egregious act, but all it takes is one team, one owner, one GM, one whatever, to be willing to sidestep all the landmines that you're going to get when you sign a guy like this.
Well, you're looking for an immense talent at a cut rate, which underscores the business of the NFL and the business of the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you're getting a guy that is arguably one of the, what, three best guys in the NFL at his position, at least based on what he has produced to this point. It's got lots of interesting sidebars to it. Cleveland is where he's from. Mm-hmm. I think he's from somewhere around Cleveland.
Very
he went
close.
To Toledo, right?
Yep. The incident happened in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. He's had other incidents that have happened in and around the Cleveland area, to the point where the Chiefs reportedly were trying to get him to move to Kansas City full time so they could avoid the potential pitfalls of him going back to Cleveland, where these things seem to have had a pattern of happening. Now, I don't know, but I'm with you. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got guys that can do this. And you've got the good feeling of being a feel-good story.
Yeah, everything going for him going into 2019.
Yeah.
Almost everything. There, and Rome talks about it, and I don't know how much of it he's serious, but I think some of it is. They're in some ways now America's team. With Baker Mayfield on that team and Freddie Kitchens as their, you know, free-spirited head coach, and they got star power. They've got – they're young. I mean, they went from 1-32 to almost making the playoffs, and then they signed Kareem Hunt. It's a, now, the details here, it's a one-year deal, but if things go smoothly, the Browns would be in a position to re-sign him because next winter he'd be a restricted free agent, which means they would control his rights. So maybe this is just a a test balloon to see if he behaves, and he's definitely going to be on the shelf for a while, if you believe all the analysts and experts, because the commissioner's office is going to lower the boom on him. But for a team that, in my opinion, could have done without him, pulled the trigger on this one. And we'll see if it's literal that John Dorsey pulled the trigger, because if this doesn't work out, he gets fired.
I would think so. Yeah.
Well, without question. I mean, if something blows up, John Dorsey just committed a fireable offense.
So where is the risk and reward? Knowing that you've got a guy like Nick Chubb, where is the risk and reward? And I understand that Kareem Hunt probably brings more to the total picture in the passing game and things of that nature than maybe Nick Chubb does, or at least the way Nick Chubb is being used. But how do you balance the risk and reward bringing in a player like Kareem Hunt?
Well,
they obviously must feel that that gives them a better chance to win.
Well, nobody, almost nobody, Saquon Barkley would lack a word, but almost nobody goes with a one-back feature run game. The Cowboys with Zeke, too. So it in some cases, it's like, well, you can never have too many running backs. But by 2020 or 21, that's where this really takes hold, because who knows where Duke Johnson or even Nick Chubb will be 2 years from now. And even if Nick Chubb is a star, you got Kareem Hunt, who's barely played in the last year and a half, assuming he just plays a handful of games next year, that you have an opportunity to be like, okay, we're going to lock this guy up long-term, keep him here, and have a two-headed kind of thing, and off we go. Or if it doesn't work, they elect not to re-sign him. But I tend to think they're leaning toward the former, because he's so young, so talented, and I think they hope the domestic dispute dust will have settled 2 years from now, and they can get on with winning games. It's a calculated risk by John Dorsey. He claims to, you know, obviously he drafted Hunt in 2017
when he
was with the Chiefs as their GM, so he knows him well. But how well? I guess we'll find out. And again, like you said, he's from Cleveland, basically from the Cleveland area. Went to school not too far from there. But the incidents that he's gotten into happened there too. So he's going to have to really, in addition to reevaluating his lifestyle, he'll have to reevaluate who he hangs around with, who's in his circle of friends, and this is his last chance at what, 23, or however young he is. This is his last chance.
Yeah, he's still very, very young, and he's been a very productive player. Is it the player? Is it the system? Is it the way that he's used within the system? We'll find out. I mean,
that's the other thing too, because
every
team had multiple times to draft him. You know, it's not like he was a first rounder. So he absolutely burst upon the scene after, I think the Chiefs took him in the third or the fourth round. So he was on really nobody's radar to start with. And then he goes off as a rookie and, you know, committed that act that was caught on camera outside a hotel room in Cleveland, and now his career, almost before it gets off the ground, is at a crossroads. But the Browns threw him a life preserver. And somebody was going to, but I was just surprised that the Browns were the ones that did it. So,
yeah, and not even three months after he was suspended. I mean, I don't even think the dust has settled around him yet. So,
well, the Browns.
I haven't read how this thing's playing in Cleveland. I didn't do that yet. I'll get to it. I wonder how it is playing in Cleveland at this point.
869-1240. Dennis, you got the last word of the segment. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. You two guys are baseball guys, and you know sports. Isn't it just like having a future draft pick?
If they elect to re-sign him long term, I suppose it's kind of like having an ace in the hole here. But
yeah, it's to me, it's just like, okay, so he got a NFL says he got to set out a year. It's just like having a first round draft pick for next year.
Not if he does some knuckleheaded stuff from now until a year from now, and blows
it. Let's face it. With those draft picks, you're taking a chance too. You don't know what's going to happen to them.
You're right.
No, that's true.
You're right, Dennis.
I'd rather have the known commodity versus a draft pick. I'm with you there.
Yeah, that's the difference. The difference is there's a track record there. And it's not to say that, hey, Kareem Hunt may end up being an ideal teammate the rest of his life. And I think that's what you hope and wish for, that he's a better person. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what has he even done in terms of getting his life right other than just making the statements? Well, I just want to learn from this and be a better person. Okay, great. What are you doing at this particular point towards that end?
Well, I'm sure he revealed all that to John Dorsey.
I'm sure he probably did. I mean, is it just as simple as keeping your head low and staying out of trouble,
mm-hmm.
being smart enough to do that right now? Or are there things that you're doing to become more conscious of these types of issues and why you seem to be prone to them? And there's one issue relative to striking the woman, so I don't want to make it sound as if there's a pattern of things here, but he's dealing with it. All right, the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. What did we learn from their debut week? And what did we learn that maybe the NFL should be paying attention to, potentially, as we continue here in a moment? Shane and Bruce rolling. 869-1240 on the Sports Daily Hotline. This is Sports Daily on your sports station, KFH.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.